You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 21, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite everybody in the world to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the prayer place for you. Every Wednesday, 6 p.m., the prayer place for you. Everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. We're live on the air with radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus the produce place. The produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there. You'll see a sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Excuse me. As the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1, we see a hopeless man, David. King Saul of Israel, the most powerful man in the world at that time, has openly decreed and declared to kill David. David was running for his life. He had to leave his new wife, Michal. He left his dad, Jesse, his mother, his brothers. David had no food, no weapon, no place to go. Even though he was called of God to be the prophet to the nation, he was totally alone. David was a man without a country, without family, without friend, without hope. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart, to your heart, Christ in you, your hope of glory.
Amen.
Christ in you, your hope of glory. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, is a tree of life.
Amen. Amen.
Christ in you, your hope of glory.
Verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest.
David was stunned. He would like to have gone to the prophet Samuel, but that would have been the first place Saul would have searched for him. So he goes to Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech is a descendant of Eli. You might remember in 1 Samuel chapter 2, when Eli was the priest and judge, he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Eli was not strong enough with them. He did not discipline them to go to church. He did not discipline them in the word. And when Hophni and Phinehas took over the temple, they seduced the women there sexually. Nothing new in the sun, a priest sexually abusing the priestess. But that wasn't the worst thing that Hophni and Phinehas did. They stole God's tithe. Malachi chapter 3 says, the tithe is the Lord's. You return it. It's one-tenth of everything you get. If you don't return it, you're robbing God and you're under a curse. The people would come and bring their feast offering. The fat was the tithe. But Hophni and Phinehas would reach over and grab it. They robbed God. The tithe is the Lord's. When you don't return it to God, you rob him and you're under a curse. So God cursed them and killed them. God told Eli, because of this, all of your priest line will eventually be cut off. Ahimelech was of that priest line. We're going to watch God's word come true.
And Ahimelech was afraid of the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee?
Now everybody knew that David was not only the king's son-in-law, but he was the commander-in-chief of the military. And David was a warrior. There he is. He's running. He's kind of ragged looking. He doesn't even have a sword. Why are you alone?
Verse 2. And he, David, said unto the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and that I have commanded thee.
David kind of stretches a little bit. He says, the king sent me on an urgent secret message. I can't really tell you what it is.
Well, I have commanded my servants unto such and such a place.
He stretches it again. My servants, my military, they're waiting on me somewhere else.
Verse 3. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present.
David was very hungry. Been 3 days. He'd been running for his life. No sleep. He was hungry. He needed bread. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. He doesn't mean for you to ask that. He's giving a model prayer. What we call the Our Father is a model prayer. Each line has a deeper meaning. Of course, if you need bread, ask for bread. Jesus is the manna. Jesus is the bread of heaven. And Jesus is the word. And man lives by every word of God, Matthew 4. So, you don't want to starve to death? Give us this day our daily word.
Amen.
Verse 4. And the priest answered David and said,
now, before I go on about that, there was another person in the Bible who needed some bread. It's in the book of Genesis. Her name was Hagar. She was a handmaiden to Sarah, the wife of Abraham. God had told Abraham and Sarah, who were very old, beyond childbearing, that Messiah is going to come through your son. Well, they didn't have a son. So Sarah thought she'd help God out. She said, Abraham, why don't you go into my handmaiden Hagar, have a baby, and that'll be the son. Abraham didn't fight that a bit. Okay, he said, Abraham. Okay, so Ishmael was born. Then Sarah got very jealous and said, get that woman out of here. So Abraham, obedient to his wife, sent Hagar and Ishmael away with just a little bit of water and a couple of biscuits. Away they went into the desert. No more water. No more bread. Hagar put her little boy under a bush to shelter him from the sun. She couldn't stand to see him die. And she went away not to see him. And suddenly a voice, the bread of heaven, Hagar, Hagar. A pool appeared and some bread appeared. Hagar said, thou God, seest me. When there's no more hope, there's no other way. Thou God seest you.
Amen.
Amen. Ahimelech answers,
there is no common bread.
I don't really have any here, he says.
Under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread.
Now I've got some holy bread. It's called the shoe bread. Shoe bread means the bread of the face. Now, they're in the Mosaic temple there at Nob, and there's a veil And behind that is the Holy of Holies, where God is. Just before that is a priest area. There's a table there. It's got a candelabra. And on one side of the table are six wafers, bread. On the other side are six wafers. They stand for the 12 tribes of Israel. Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and eat that bread. And when he did that, it means bread of the face. It means metaphorically and prophetically, they would eat the body of Jesus Christ. And they would stand face to face with him and pray for all of the tribes. Every one of us will stand before the face of God. If we have not eaten the shewbread, if Jesus is not in us, or we've eaten his body, we'll disintegrate into the lake of fire. This is dangerous territory to touch the holy bread, the bread of his face.
If the young men have kept themselves at least from women.
Now, it was a Mosaic law. The high priest, if he went in there and he had any sin for which he had not repented, he was supposed to fast from food and fast from sex. A fast means you fast from flesh. In other words, everything about the flesh, you just do away with that and you feast on God. So he's thinking, well, I could maybe give you that, but have they been with women?
Verse 5. And he, David, answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days.
No. We've been working here for the king 3 days. We've had no women and no food. Jesus took all of our sins on his body on the tree. What a dirty body, all those sins. They placed him in a sepulcher 3 days and three nights. But what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Clean.
Amen.
Since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy.
They're okay, they're clean. You're a vessel. Want to stay clean.
And the bread is, in a manner, common. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel.
In other words, he says it's kind of hallowed there because we're on a mission for the anointed King Saul. Well, Saul had been anointed.
Verse 6. So the priest gave him a hallowed bread.
Okay, he gave him a holy bread. Do you know that you can have holy bread? The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. Christ lives in you. The holy bread.
For there was no bread there, but the showbread was taken from before the Lord. Cut hot bread in the day, it was taken away.
The priest would change that bread every 7 days, so this was hot bread from the oven. I mean, look at that. What a blessing.
Verse 7. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. And his name was Doeg, an Edomite.
David looks over there behind a little veil there. There's a man there. It's Doeg. Doeg is an Edomite. What's he doing there in the temple? Genesis says Esau is Edom. The original Hebrew says Edom is rushed by the Volga, Russia. God had a law. Israel had been a theocracy. God was a king, no man. He said, you can welcome strangers in this country, but they got to leave their demons at the border.
Amen.
They can only come in if they will be converted to the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh. Now, why in the world is this Edomite there in the temple? Something smells a little fishy. Is this a true conversion? The Antichrist, a type like Doeg, is about to come. He's going to come to the holy place, but he's not Jesus. But the world will think he's God. Half the body of Christ will think he's God. The five foolish virgins of Matthew 25. Right there in the holy place, desecrating it. In Jerusalem, the Antichrist, the devil, will come, calling himself God.
Chiefest of the herdmen that belong to Saul.
Oh, that's why he's there. He was making Saul a lot of money, taking care of those herd. So Saul says, now look, you got to stay in the country, but you got to go get converted. It wasn't real. He was a fake. He was a fake conversion. The Antichrist is a fake Christ.
Verse 8.
I recently taught Psalm 52. David wrote about Doeg. Doeg went back and snitched. He told Saul that the high priest had given David some shoe bread. And so that would ultimately cause Saul to kill Ahimelech. David wrote about it in Psalm 52. David is very aware of this. David is anointed by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the great gifts of the anointed Holy Spirit is discernment of spirits. He discerned that the enemy was in the temple. When you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even in the holiest of holies, you know when an enemy is in the camp. Thank goodness you do.
Amen. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me.
I was in such a hurry.
Because the king's business required haste.
I had to hurry. Not only did I have any bread, I don't even have a weapon here, and I'm on a mission there. Do you have a sword or anything here? David knows he needs bread and he needs a sword. In Revelation 1, we see a picture of Jesus when he'll return. Out of his mouth goes a two-edged sword, which is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is more powerful than a two-edged sword. In your most hopeless situation, there's nobody to help you. You can have the bread and you can have the sword. Jesus is the bread and the sword is the word of God. All my friends in all your countries, America, all of you dear people, while there seems to be no hope, you can still have the bread. You can still have the sword. What we all need is Jesus and the Bible.
Amen.
Verse 9, and the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah.
Look, I fancy that. That sword that you cut off Goliath's head, it's here. Look at that. I mean, fancy that. Even Ahimelech is just amazed. Now, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. David is stunned. I didn't know what to do. Have you seen the picture, Footprints of the Sand? They're beautiful. My spectacular friend, Colette, and her husband, Roger Jubert, he's a CEO of my Garden of Eden. I was trying to find one of those, and they so graciously got me one because I wanted to give to a family that I love very much. And so it's a beautiful thing. You want to get you one. It starts out with two footprints. That's you and Jesus. That's David and the Lord. But David didn't know he was there. You don't know he's there. And then it's just one footprint in the sand. That's when all hope is gone. There's just no answer. Jesus picks you up and carries you. Footprints in the sand.
Amen.
This is for you when all hope is gone. And this is for David. He carries you when you can't carry yourself.
Amen.
Christ in you, your hope of glory.
It is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod.
Oh my Lord, it's in the holy place. An ephod is a priest's vest. It has a Urim and a Thummim, which tells you what God wants you to do. It answers for God. It's right there in the holy place, the sword and the priest vest. Well, David was a teenager when he killed Goliath. He put it in his tent, but then Saul called him to award him. He didn't know what happened to it. Somebody knew that that sword was such a treasure. They put it in the house of God, right beside the priest vest. Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, our high priest, ever living to make intercession for us. And Jesus is the Word. You can go to the house of God because Revelation 1 says you're a priest, but make sure you have the Word.
If I would take that, take it.
You may have that.
For there is no other save that.
That's all I've got.
And David said, there is none like that.
Tell you what, that's the best one. None like that. No, not one. No, not one. Now, all of you are fighting a battle. That's a spiritual battle. You don't like it, I don't like it, but that's where we are. You're fighting for your life, I know. But some of you don't know what kind of a weapon to use. You email everybody in town. You text. You check your girlfriend. This is my trouble. This is my trouble. I blame that person. I blame that person. You're the fault. You're the fault. It's you. You're the burden. And all the while, there is an ephod for you. There's only one weapon. His name is Jesus. He's the Word. Jesus gives you power over all the power of the enemy. What you want to do is put on the gospel armor of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 6. Don't ever take it off. Sleep with it, and you will have power. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt with truth, the feet shod with the preparation of peace, the shield of faith which protects you from all the fiery darts of the enemy, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and praying in the Holy Spirit. See, you do have a weapon. That's the weapon you need. And his name is Jesus. No, not one. There's no other name given in heaven and earth whereby we might be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There's no one like that.
Amen.
Give it to me.
Give it to me. Okay. Seek and you shall find. Ask not. If you're seeking with all your heart, you can have it. You want more of God? Give it to me. Give me Jesus. Give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Give me the Word of God. Give me your presence. Fill me, fill me, fill me. Give me you, Lord. Give me you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
This, fill me with the Holy Spirit, please. Jesus, we come to my heart, dead as a doornail. You got to cry out. You got to make him know you're hungry for him. When he sees you're starving for Jesus, you're starving for the Word, you're starving for the baptism, because you can't lead the Christian life without it. Amen. When you seek with all your heart, you'll find him.
Amen.
Verse 10, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul.
Okay, he realized that Doeg was going to go tell Saul, so he had to run. What do? When there's no place to go, you go to the rock of your salvation. Now, where's he going?
I went to Achish, the king of Gath.
Oh, my Lord. He had killed Goliath, the champion of Gath. Why is he going to the enemy's territory? He was between Pharaoh's army and the deep Red Sea. It's kind of like these politicians. They just throw something against the wall and hope it sticks. Don't know what to do.
Verse 11.
He thought maybe they would not recognize him. He's very raggedy. He's not had any sleep and just that little piece of bread for 3 days. And he's lost weight and his beard is drooling. His fingernails are long and he's dirty. They probably won't know he's David.
And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David?
Uh-oh. Even the enemy knows God's anointed. Those demons would say to Jesus, Jesus, we know thee who thou art. The beautiful thing is the devil knows who's anointed.
Yeah.
But see, The anointed get persecuted more than others, but that's such an honor. That means you are anointed. I mean, if the devil's not trying to kill you every day of your life, you're not doing any good. You're not anointed.
The king of the land?
The king? They call him king. Why they call him king? To the enemies of a Christian nation, the man who loves the nation, who takes care of the nation, in their eyes is king. By this time, everybody knew that Saul was cognitively impaired. That's another way of saying blah, 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 he's crazy as a June bug. And they knew that David was the one who was protecting the country. Nothing new under the sun. The enemies know who the real one in America is who would save the country. Amen. That's why they're trying to kill him.
Yeah.
You know who it is.
Yeah.
President Trump, we love you.
Yes. Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands?
When Saul and David would come back from victory, those damsels would praise David more than Saul. No wonder's jealous of him.
Verse 12. And David laid up these words in his heart. I was so afraid of Achish.
Uh-oh. All hope is gone. Man, a man without a country. I can't go back. I can't go here. He killed a champion. And I mean, King of Gath. They're not going to let him die quickly. It would be slowly. All hope is gone.
King of Gath. Verse 13. And he changed his behavior.
Wait just a minute. The Bible says God gives knowledge of witchy inventions. David has the Holy Spirit. Jesus says he will guide you. Isaiah says the Holy Spirit will say, say that. Go there. Give that. Don't say that. Don't go there. In his weakest moment, the Holy Spirit is saying, change your behavior.
Before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands.
They captured him now, and he acted like a madman. I mean, blah, 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 okay?
And scrabbled on the doors of the gates.
His fingernails have grown too long over 3 days. He has said, you know how that feels on a chalkboard?
And let his spittle fall down upon his beard.
He drooled all over his dirty beard. Blah, 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 crazy man.
Verse 14. Then said Achish to his servants, lo, you see the man is mad.
Achish says, you might call this David. He has to be insane because he killed our champion. Nobody sane would come here. He's got to be crazy.
Wherefore then have you brought him to me?
Why'd you bring him to me? I don't want a madman.
Verse 15. Have I need of madmen? You have brought this fella to play the madman in my presence.
Oh, you thought I'd make him my slave? I can't do that. I tell him to go get me some fish and bring me a snake. No, I don't even want him for a servant.
Shall this fella come into my house?
Absolutely not. Get him out of here. Wow. Say by the hairy chin,
praise
chin,
the
chin.
Lord.
First Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam.
He goes and sits in a dark cave. A cave is a place you might be sometimes. It's so dark, so lonely. There's no sunshine. There's no happy music. There's nobody to hold you or understand your heart. All seems lost.
And when his brethren and all his father's house said it, they went down hither to him.
Hope restored. Dad Jesse and mother and brothers hear about it. They risk their lives because Saul will want to kill them too. And they go to the cave. Hope restored. Don't you know David's mama made him some good hot cooked food there, so he'd have to stop eating those cave critters. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 31. If a thief be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, is a tree of life. Colossians 1, verse 27. Christ in you, your hope of glory. I hope you are blessed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, my radio announcer, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Awesome word.
Awesome word. Well, David left his stuff in the cart later on, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Psalms 56:9.
Absolutely perfect. We did not collude. You are Amen. Led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Great, Scott.
Amen, Lord.
Before I pray for healing, anybody in the world not saved, you want to get saved. Jesus died for you. Pray this prayer with you and mean it with all your heart. Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I change my mind. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart. Save my soul. Forgive all my sins. Wash them away with your precious blood. Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit. Tell me where to go to church. And make me usable. To win many souls to Jesus. I confess with my mouth. That Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Amen, amen. Now, for all of you in cyberspace, Romans chapter 10 says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell people. I invite you to tell me. Call me. That's my voicemail. And when I get it, welcome to the family of God. You also may email me. Now, for those of you who are new Christians, get yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New. I suggest the King James Version. It is the only version that you would trace almost every word back to the original Hebrew, Greek, Chaldee, Aramaic, and Syriac, and you want to have the truth. Now read that Bible every day, and then you want to now pray every day. Now you call God Father. You're not alien to Him. Father, in the name of Jesus. And then go to church on Sundays or Saturday, whichever your Sabbath, and be sure to go midweek so we can learn how to pray. Find a church that teaches God's Word one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Why? Well, the Bible tells you to. Paul said, read this epistle to the church. Epistle is a letter. The Bible is God's love letter to you. And Isaiah 28 says, line by line, line by line. Make sure that the shepherd there, the pastor, whoever's in charge, has the baptism of the Holy Spirit and operates in the gifts so that everything can be edified and everything can be in order. And be sure to go there faithfully. And I love you and God bless you. And welcome to the family of God. Now, for healing, Ishakata, I feel led to pray for kidneys. Kokata, the left kidney, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus. That infection be gone from you. That those germs, that fungus be gone from you. Right kidney, fungus be gone from you. Be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Divine circulation, assimilation, elimination. Whew, left kidney, pain be gone. Kidney stones disintegrate softly, gently. Kidney, left kidney, be healed. Bladder, everything connected there. Bowels, be healed. Irritable bowel, pain be gone. Divine order, perfect circulation. perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction, inaction. Summons, at ease, at ease, at ease. In the mighty name, fungus, be gone. Fungus, be gone. Fungus, boils, be gone. Cancer, be gone. The mighty name of Jesus. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed.
Amen.
He sent his word and healed you. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too, far more than you know, with all my heart. I'm looking forward to the next time you and I get together all over the world. God bless you. I love you. To hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM
91.5. I am small. I am alone. You are companion. I am ashamed. You are the blanket that covers me, that covers me. Love me. I'm trying to believe in myself. Please don't forget the way you said you would forgive me. Please don't forget my hand. please don't forget my hand. Please don't forget the way you said that you would love me. I'm trying to believe in myself. Please don't forget. Please don't forget my
hand. No silver or gold could weigh on the scale of glory. No treasure of mine could pay to the debt of mercy. The things of earth will surely fade away. One pardon will prevail. Jesus' blood has ransomed. Up against his power. When he says I'm free and I'm free forever. The things I've done are gone.
No divide or separate. Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
You cannot return to God and ignore His word.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why the truth of Scripture is a vital ingredient in revival.
So my challenge today is, let's return to His word as a way of life and a lifestyle, not a Sunday event.
This is The Alternative with with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Having the best aim in the world won't help if you don't know what the target looks like. Dr. Evans says the same is true if you want to get your life pointed directly to the Lord. Today, he talks about how your commitment to God's Word can help you do that. Let's join him as he begins.
If you are serious about a return to God, you must be serious about the Scriptures, serious about the Bible. So I want to talk to us today in this series on returning to God about returning to Him through Scripture, through the truth of the Bible. Paul puts it this way in 2 Timothy 3, he says, beginning in verse 13, evil men and imposters are going to proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood, which is why you need to make sure your children know the Word of God, from childhood you have known the sacred writings, the Scriptures, which were able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. As a child, you were introduced to the Bible so that you could make better decisions in your life. Why? Why make a big deal about the Bible, about Scripture? He tells us in verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is the voice of God in print, not merely information about God. Luke 8 tells a story about a sower who went out to sow. A farmer is planting seeds. And he talks about the seeds that the farmer planted fell on different soils. So Jesus, the great storyteller that he is, tells this story, and he tells them, I'm talking to you about the kingdom, he says. And I'm going to talk to you about the kingdom and how the word works with the kingdom. And the kingdom is the rule of God. So he tells them this story, and when he tells them this story, verse 10, he says, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest of it, it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now, let me just pause there. He says, I told you this story, talking to his disciples, so that you can learn the mystery of the kingdom, so that you'll understand something that the general public won't know. So I'm getting ready to tell you what Jesus told them. Because if you are here and you are a believer and you are serious about following Christ, he wants you to understand, but he doesn't want the non-Christians to understand. Why would he say that? He says, so that seeing they may not see and that they may not understand. Because the more you understand that you don't do anything with, the greater your judgment. So he says, I want you to understand because you belong to my people and I want you to get the benefit of this. So he tells this story, and he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The word of God comes to you in seed form. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, talks about the word of God has the DNA in it of God, but it comes in seed form. Now, whenever you have a fruit or a vegetable in seed form, all that is going to make the fruit or vegetable what it's designed to become is embedded in the seed. It just hasn't expanded and exposed itself yet. So right now, this sermon, you will get in seed form. In other words, not fully amplified, not fully experienced, not fully realized, but very much alive because a seed has life in it. Of whatever the fruit and vegetable is. He says, the sower went out to sow, the seed is the word of God. Some of the seed fell by the roadside, he says. Just fell by the roadside, and the devil comes and takes it away the word before it gets to their heart. So Satan is the original abortionist. He wants